You probably know that I used to be a pastor up in the Zelenopo area, and then the Lord called me to go to Croatia. And so for the last 5 years, I've been working with the Protestant Reformed Christian Church, which is also the Reformed Episcopal Church. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been working with Almir Peklic in the city of Karlovac, which is just about 30 miles southwest of Zagreb, the capital. 3.5, 4 years ago, Almir started this church with almost nothing, and God has been blessing and bringing people. We're still small by American standards, but God has been faithful. And Almir has been an incredible pastor at great sacrifice. Anyhow, he's finished his MDiv, and along with me, we both teach at the Protestant Reformed Seminary. And anyhow, when we're not busy with the seminary, we're busy with the church in Karlovac, and I help Almir, and I am learning so much from this guy. So he just reads. He's a voracious reader, and he reads these really big concepts, and he explains them in little words for me. So anyhow, Almir, can you teach us?
Thank you so much. Let me just turn this thing on. Okay. It's not green yet.
Hold it.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Tom, Pastor Tom Smith. We have been working for what, 2 years now straight,
3 years.
Right? Yeah, straight. And I think that we not just have amazing friendship, but we actually have a lot of practice with all kinds of pastoral stuff. So I'm also a pastor in Zagreb Church in capital of Croatia, just from recently, like September the 1st. So yeah, I have a lot of things to do, but I love it because it's all for the Lord. I am very glad that I can be here today, that we can learn a little bit more about what you actually started last time. You learned about Reformation, right, and what Reformation is, how it started, and why it started. What we are going to do first is that I will ask my dear brother, Dan, if he can please hit it. And then
hit it.
Hit it, yeah, and then God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our only Savior, the Prince of Peace, give us grace seriously to lay to heart the great dangers we are in by our unhappy divisions. Take away all hatred and prejudice and whatsoever else may hinder us from godly union and concord. That is, there is but one body and one spirit and one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, so we may be all of one heart and of one soul, united in one holy bond of truth and peace, of faith and charity, and may with one mind and one mouth glorify thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I usually pray in Croatian, so it's kind of hard for me to pray in English, you know, because it's my second language. I also do poetry, I write poetry, so if I don't understand some words, then it's very hard for me. So I actually pray this couple of times. I checked the words, what they mean, you know, so I can pray it alone for, I don't know, like 10 minutes, so I can pray it with you today.
How do you say Jesus Christ in Croatian?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus Christ. Okay, so basically I promised that I will be short today, but honestly I lied. I do that a lot at seminary. my students don't like me very much because of that. But I'm trying to be fair as much as I can. So when I got this from last time, this outline, I was very interested by this last point that you have here, the two main issues, and I guess the one was the works? That Catholics believe that they are saved by works and Protestants don't, right? Well, when I ask what are the works that are Catholics saved by, can you tell me, for example, what would that be? What are the works? Does anyone know here?
Baptism,
okay, sure, well done. What? Well, yeah, something else?
The Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper, okay, yeah. Maybe, sure, okay.
Penance.
Okay, yeah, well done. Have you ever heard about pilgrimage? Okay, so when Catholics actually did something really bad, what they had to do is to go to some holy place, right? And they had all of these relics there, like bones and clothing and stuff of these old saints, you know, that passed away like maybe hundreds of years ago, you know? So what did they do there? They pray to these bones. They kiss them, you know? And they would probably get, like, forgiveness of sins. And basically that was all connected to this idea of indulgences that you heard last time, right? Okay, so this is not just, oh, be good to your neighbor. No, this is not the works that we are talking about. We are talking about religious stuff. That's how we call it in theology. Religious stuff. Okay. Yeah. Basically, today we are going to talk about Protestant unity. And that's why we actually pray this prayer from this amazing book, which is called Book of Common Prayer. If anyone heard of Book of Common Prayer, that's great. If you didn't, please take it and read it and pray it, because it can help you with your spiritual growth. When we talk about Reformation, we need to ask ourselves, actually, what is the Reformation? You basically did it last time, but when I say the word Reformation, what do you think of? What is the first thing that comes on your mind? Reformation.
Revolt.
What?
Revolt.
Revolt?
Mm-hmm.
Against whom?
Church.
Church. What church?
Rome,
against Rome, not the church. Yeah. It was the Rome, okay? That's very important to understand. Luther was never against the church. He was against what? Indulgences, against some bad things that happened in Rome, in the Vatican, with Pope. When I was a young Christian, I was a Roman Catholic, because that was the only church that I had in Croatia. When I was a little bit older, my other church was Baptist church, and I was a youth pastor there. Okay? Do we have any Baptists here? We don't have any Baptists here. Pentecostals? Oh, interesting. Okay. Well.
Normally there are.
Well, come lie to me again. But then I read some more Bible and church history, so I moved towards the Reformed faith, right? And what is the biggest problem with me was, I'm not sure if this is the real word in English, but I will say it anyway, romanticizing. Is that the word?
The word?
Romanticizing the Reformation. Okay, when we talk about the Reformation, we usually say, oh, that Martin Luther, he was such a great guy. Oh, Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin. Oh, when Reformation started, everything was so great. You know, that was amazing time for church. Well, today I'm going to burst your bubble, because now it wasn't that great. It was actually very tough for both Catholics, for Zwinglians, for Lutherans, and later Calvinists. We are not going to talk about that to them, because who needs Calvinists today, right? I know this is Bible study, okay? We won't be using too much of Bible, but we will use some, just to explain some things what happened. Even though my English is not the worst in the world, I still, I really don't like reading out loud, especially from the Bible, because you have many archaic words, which are hard for me to read. But I have this ESV Bible here, which Pastor Tom gave me to use today. So I will read Matthew 25:26-29. This is basically the words of institution of the Lord's Supper.
Okay. You want us to read it for you?
Thank you, brother. Yeah, if you can do that would be great.
Matthew 25.
That's right, yeah.
What was the verse?
26-29.
Wait, the institution of the Lord's Supper?
Yeah.
That's 26. Yeah. That's Matthew 26.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry. I have the wrong page here. Yeah. Yeah.
John, can you read that from heart? what verse then?
26 to 29.
Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Thank you.
The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Luther read the same passage, Zwingli read the same passage, they all knew what they are reading, they all understood it differently. And that was the basic problem, because you probably heard about sola scriptura, which means only Bible, right? And now these two great reformers are reading only Bible only, right? And they actually came to the very different conclusions. So what did Luther thought that Lord's Supper is? He basically said, this is a real present, the physical presence of Jesus Christ, like a bodily presence, right? And what did Zwingli said? It's a real absence. It's a symbol. Okay? And now we may say, sure, well, that's not such a big difference, right? It's only one point in this huge event of the Reformation that changed the world. But guess what? Luther didn't think that way. So Luther and Zwingli, they actually fought a lot about that. They were writing each other very angry letters. Well, actually, Luther did that. Zwingli was kind of more, you know, moderate. He tried to be academic, you know, and everything. But Luther was this very fiercey guy. Is that the word fiercey? I made it up if it's not. So, yeah, you can use it. So, one day, this thing happened that's called Marburg Colloquy. Did anyone ever heard of it? So, in Synoptic Gospels, you basically have all of these ideas of Lord's Supper, if you go, especially if you go from the beginning to the end, where actually Christ is giving himself on the cross, right? So that's actually part of this symbolism of the Lord's Supper. But what's going on here is that even though they agreed on symbolism, they didn't agree on reality. And what happens is, this guy, Philip Melanchthon, if you ever heard of Philip Melanchthon, he was great German reformer, right? Very good friend of Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli from Switzerland, right? He called them together. And they said, look, it is time to change something. It is time to come to something that's called Protestant Union or Protestant Sacramental Union. Why was that important? Why do you think? Have you ever heard of Diet of Speer? You did? Great. What happened there? 1526. In 1526, there was this diet, this council-like, city council, and they said, well, you know, this thing, Diet of Worms, if you heard of the Diet of Worms, where
yes.
Luther was actually right, where Luther was condemned as a heretic, and all Protestants, they said, okay, every single Protestant Lutheran needs to leave the lands, or they need to change a religion. Well, they need to go back to the Catholic Church. 1526, something happened. Because there were some big political problems, and this Diet of Speer or Spire actually said, well, we will give these Lutherans freedom. Okay, so Lutherans could have lands, and they could have stores and everything. They could be like normal citizens again. Everything was fine until second Diet of Speer. What happened there? They took it all back. So Lutherans are again excommunicated, not from the church, but from the society. What's going on? Do you know how Protestants got their name? Do you know? I mean, I guess some of you are calling yourself Protestants, right? Do you know why? Because of Diet of Speer, the second diet. What happened there is that these Lutherans, evangelicals, actually protested this decision of the second diet of Speer.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes, sure.
How do you spell that?
S-P-E-Y-E-R.
Thank you.
No problem. That's German. So sometimes I say Speer, sometimes Speer. You can do whatever you want, basically. Yeah. Protestantism actually started now. So the real protest started now. This isn't just a reformation anymore. This is a real protest. So Protestants don't have lands anymore. They will lose everything that they have, every single civil right. So there is this guy who is very close to the politicians, the princes of that era, and he said, we need to unite Protestants. We need to unite Ulrich Zwingli and Martin Luther, because everyone else agrees but these two. And these are the main guys. What's going on? Philip Melanchthon says, okay, I am going to put them both together and some other guys in Marburg. And we are going to talk about the differences and similarities. And we are going to get unity, because we need it to survive, not just as a Christians, but also as a citizens of our lands. Okay, so they basically started conversation. Luther really didn't want to come. He was still at Warburg, hiding, you know. But okay, he came, you know. He said, okay, but this is last time. He actually did a favor to Melanchthon. Right? So he said, okay, I will come, but you know, we won't solve anything. Okay, so he came. Ulrich Zwingli came. Some other guys came too. What happened? They were sitting there from October 1st to October 4th, 1539. And they were talking. There were 15 points. And they agreed on 14 of those. Everything was fine. And then the last point. Yeah? The Lord's Supper. Sola Scriptura. Everything is clear in the Bible, right? So when they open synoptics or John 6, for example, eating flesh, right? Drinking blood. Everything's fine. Luke 24, right? Emmaus guys, those two, they were going home. Okay? Everything was fine. But something went wrong. What is the Lord's Supper? Luther was saying, this is the real presence, Christ is truly present, and Zwingli said, no, this is just a symbol. What we need to understand, that Luther is still under great influence of scholasticism, of Thomism, of Roman Catholic ideas, of theology of 12th and 13th century, right? But Zwingli is under the influence of humanism, of Erasmus Rotterdamus. This great humanist of 16th century that was Catholic, he lived like a Catholic, he hated Catholics and Catholic Church, but he always remained Catholic, he never moved towards the Protestantism. So basically, Zwingli was humanist. Luther was, let's say, some kind of a Thomist in that way. Very good theologian, he was doing scholasticism. At that point, there was this one more issue, which was baptism. Baptism was solved relatively quick. Please do not forget that at this era, we already have a so-called Anabaptist movement. Okay? Anabaptist movement started in Switzerland under Ulrich Zwingli. Actually, his two students, Konrad Grebel and Felix Mann, started it. And they said, Ulrich, you didn't go enough, too far enough. These sacraments are too Catholic. We need to change it. Why are you baptizing kids? They don't have faith. What's going on? Are you coming back to the Catholic Church? Or are you going to be a real reformer and do it as you should be doing it? They had this huge public dispute, you know. They had arguments and everything. So Ulrich Zwingli won, Konrad Grebel and other guys lost, and baptism was officially heresy for the city of Zurich. So at the Marburg colloquy, they only talked basically about the Lord's Supper, because everything else was solved. Okay. So what? What's going on is that Luther comes from Wittenberg. He is very good theologian, not just biblical scholar, but theologian, like a systematic theologian, philosopher. He is using a lot of church fathers, but Zwingli is also using that. Zwingli has problems with Anabaptists, but this guy, Luther, he has problems with this prophetic movement. If you heard about Thomas Mintzer and some other guys who actually said, oh, we are living in the last times. The end is near. So they had this great battle in 1527. They were all killed. Andrea Karlstadt, one of the professors at Wittenberg, one of the closest friends of Martin Luther, said, I'm not a doctor anymore. So he took everything, you know, this academia, this regalia, you know, from himself, and said, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a professor, I'm Brother Andreas. Luther said, okay, you are going a bit too far. You know, this is not right. Where are you going with this? So he tried to talk to Carter and say, we need to go slowly. This isn't the way. On the other hand, we had Philip Melanchthon, who was going like really, really, really slow. You know, he actually wanted to take a lot of the liturgy, a lot of the vestments from the Roman Catholic Church, while Karlstadt actually, you know, he gave everything up. So he was preaching like in suit and tie. Melanchthon was like me in my church. Cassock, surplus, stole, sometimes chasuble, right? So if we say Reformation was a very nice period for the church, no, it wasn't. It was war. But not war between Protestants and Catholics, but between Protestants. We need to be aware of that. So when we say, oh, thank God for the 500th year of Reformation, we had this huge celebration in Croatia. It was live coverage on TV. You know, it was great. But you know what? It wasn't so great. Because I was sitting next to some Lutherans, Baptists, Pentecostals, and I say, you have no idea what you're saying. Your theology is bad. They are saying to me, oh, he's a papist. Right? What's going on? Where is the Protestant unity? Where, this is actually the place and time when it stopped. And a Baptist strike. And that's why today we have Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Amish, Mennonites, and so on. On the other hand, we have what? Lutherans, we have Episcopalians, Anglicans, Presbyterians, right? Even some other groups like Methodists and so on.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Do we have Methodists here? Okay. Diet of Speers started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They lost their freedom, they needed unity. They needed united church, united Protestant church. But how do you think, if I ask you today, how would you unite? We are not getting into Baptists now, or Pentecostals, they're Anabaptists, but Protestants. How are you going to unite Presbyterians, Lutherans, Anglicans, based on what? How can you do that? Is it a possibility? Okay, Zwingli's and Melanchthon's idea was, well, let's build a church like Switzerland, Switzerland is built in cantons, like counties. And every county or canton has its own church but the same theology. Why was that important? Because we didn't want to have a new Rome. We didn't want to have a new Pope. We didn't want to have centralized religion in one place, right? That was important because they were afraid of a new Pope. Because Pope was Antichrist, right?
Yeah.
For the reformers, right? Okay, so how are we going to do it? Okay, basically we need to unite all of these Protestant lands now with same theology. 15 points, 14 were agreed upon. One point was destruction of Protestant unity. And that's Lord's Supper, that's Eucharist, that's breaking of the bread. And this Sunday I am going to talk about talents. I'm going to have a sermon in Anglican church and in one Presbyterian church. I am going to preach about talents. And the biggest gift, the biggest talent that God gave us is Jesus Christ. His love for us, crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, ascension. Right?
Amen.
But Jesus gave us something more. He gave us Lord's Supper. And today, when we think about Lord's Supper, we think about something that, oh yeah, we are doing that once a month. You know, you need to be a good guy to do it. You need to be, you know, yeah, you need to be nice to your neighbors, you know. And so, no, that's not it. And both Zwingli and Luther agreed upon that. Zwingli said, Lord's Supper is to be celebrated 6 times a year. Why it is not important? He basically said it's too important to celebrate it too often. Mm-hmm. And that's such a weird thing, right?
Yeah, right?
If it's something very important to you, why are you going to do it like 6 times a year?
Come on,
okay?
I'm a preacher, brother.
Yeah. Amen. Can I get hallelujah here?
Amen.
Biggest pick in tongues later. No, but if it's so important, really, think about it. John 6, that was the basic point that Luther went when he was talking about Lord's Supper. So, if you want to have eternal life, you need to eat his flesh, sarx, right? That's a very powerful word in Greek, sarx, which is flesh. It's not soma like some body. It's sarx, it's flesh, it's muscles, it's blood. You understand? It's living flesh. And you need to drink blood, which is real blood. And what happened with the Jews? You remember his followers? What happened then? They left him. Why? Because they were forbidden to taste the blood, to eat this meat, you know, especially human meat. Why were they so disgusted by it? Because they heard Jesus' words. You need to eat sarx, flesh, my flesh, drink my blood. So Jews back then, when they're following Jesus, they realized what Jesus is saying. And that was Luther's point. If they left, well, I guess they understood it, what it means, because it's their language, it's their context. But Zwingli said, it's a symbol. I think they're saying, he's the bread of life. That means his word. His word is what is important. His teaching. You need to eat his teaching. And look, brothers, there are no sisters here, right? Brothers, that's okay. Zwingli was not too far. Luther was not too wrong. But there was something there that maybe they both missed. I would like to ask you about this interesting word that Jesus is saying, remembrance. So this in remembrance of me. Mm-hmm. What is remembrance? How do you remember? I was at this Penguins game, right? What day that was?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay, that was a great game, right? No. We won. I can say now, we won, I won. It's, okay, who else won here? Raise your hand, who won? Okay, great. Why do you say that you won? You never played. I have no idea, but I really don't know the rules. I was there, but I won because I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm wearing a Penguins jersey. I won! I never played. And then I get this like flag, you know, and it says Stanley Cup winners, 1992, I guess.
Yeah.
93. I'm fair, I know. Okay, so.
91 and 92.
Amen, brother. Preaching, brother, yeah. 2019, right? Yeah, but listen to me. I was not there. In 1992, I didn't even know about Penguins, right? Why do I say we won? I didn't want remembrance. I remember. Why do I remember it? I wasn't even here. Why do I remember it? How can I remember it? I never saw the game. I remember it. Why? Why do I remember it? Why do you, because I am part of collective. I am part of these crazy fans there, this crazy group that say, oh, this is like 1992, man. And I said, yeah, it is. I have no idea, we're not there, man. You know? But I remember it. Because he remembers it. You see, when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there at the cross with Mary, with John.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there. But you still do remember.
Amen.
We are part of the church. Church has collective memory. We are collective. Church didn't start in 16th century with Marburg Colloquy or with 95 Theses or with translation of the Bible to the German or Croatian or English. No! Church started with Jesus Christ, and maybe before that, if we like our covenant theology and so on, right?
Amen.
How do we remember then? We remember because we believe. We remember because we are part of each other. You remember this prayer that we prayed? It was based on Ephesians 4:5, or 5:4. I need to check it. It's here. No, I'm kidding. What's going on? We are one body. We are one soul. And what else? Paul is saying to us that there is one baptism. One baptism of the heart. There is one Christ, one Lord. Okay. There is one faith. There is one body. So I basically came from Croatia here, you know? I came from Croatia where we celebrated 500th anniversary of Reformation. I was happy to be there, and I'm happy to be here. And guys, I really don't know you. I don't know almost except for Tom, maybe, and for Don, because we talked.
And Ted.
And Ted, but, yeah. No, I don't know you, but you know what? We have the same memory.
Amen.
Amen.
So when Luther and Zwingli fought the Lord's Supper, they fought on a theological basis, on a basis of scholasticism or humanism. And today, I really want to bring you from 16th century, from 1529 to 21st century, to 2017, right? 2017. Here, brothers and sisters, this is our Marburg now. Marburg colloquy, okay? Are we going to fight? We can fight, we can discuss, but don't forget that Jesus' words do this in a remembrance of me. Break the bread in a remembrance of me, in memory of me. Anamnesis, Zachar. Okay. That's what Passover is all about. You know, eating the terrible food that tastes funny. No one likes that, you know. But Jews do that because they like to remember, right? And of course, it is tempting, especially for me as a theologian, a systematic theologian, to go into all of these historic discussions and talk about it all. That's good. I love that. I'm not married. I don't have kids. That's everything I have. My church is everything I got. You know? I don't have many friends. Tom is my only friend, basically. Yeah, you feel bad for me right now. Right? Yeah, I know. No, but what I'm trying to say here, let's make this our Marburg, okay? And let's open this discussion now. What would you like to change in Protestantism today, if you have a chance? Maybe if you have a chance to change something, what would you like to change? Do you have any idea what would you like to change? Maybe in your own congregation, in your own theology. What about baptism? I mean, we have Baptists here. They're not Protestants. They're Anabaptists. That's their theology. Their theology is Anabaptist theology, not Lutheran theology, not Calvinist theology. It's Anabaptist theology. It's theology of Swiss Brethren, right? Okay. Or Mennonites, if you're going, you know, in 1609 and 12, you know, with this merger with Separatists and Mennonites. What would you like to change? Okay, I have this problem. When I serve the Eucharist, I call it Eucharist, that's what we call it, breaking of the bread, Lord's Supper. I have this amazing prayer in the Book of Common Prayer, this amazing invitation that says, whoever is baptized, whoever truly believes in our Lord, may come forward and partake communion. But look at this, I was like last year, I think, in Netherlands, at this big conference, a Reformed conference, right? And they were talking about something that I never actually heard about. I may have heard about it, but I never thought about it. It's called fencing the table. Have you heard of fencing the table? Yeah, I thought it's like sword fighting or something. I don't know how do you fence the table, man. No, it's like forbidding those who are outside of the local congregation or for whom you know that there is some heretical organization to come forward. Of course, there are some other points here to like sin and everything. But you know, what does Jesus do? Huh? Come on, Judas was there. He knows Judas, he knows our hearts. So I know that maybe we have pastors here. I know that we have theologians here. Are you going to say no to me to partake the Eucharist in your church? I'm not worthy enough. Of course I'm not worthy. You are not either.
Amen.
No, but sure, brother. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. My church fences it and says anyone who you know, as part of a Bible-believing church may partake. What do you do with 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul says that we're to examine ourselves?
To examine ourselves, that's right. We need to always be aware of what we are doing. We need to know how to recognize the body, because who is not recognizing the body is partaking the destruction of self, of course. Yes, sure.
It's actually a gracious, loving thing, because you're saving a person from bringing commendation upon themselves, as Scripture says.
But we need to examine ourselves. What does Paul say? If our conscience is clear, right?
Just to count that.
Not sure, yeah.
If truly you're a pastor or a shepherd of the flock, your care for those individuals are such that you should be actually concerned about who they are. So if anything's done properly, it's just basically a loving ministerial action.
It is, but that is not the context. You are talking about the congregation, the local congregation. We are talking about Protestant union, unity. That's the topic here. So if I from another church come to your church, that's the thing. I'm not talking about discipline in the church. That's something else. That's a pastoral thing that, of course, I do. I mean, I'm doing that.
Again, most people that are Reformed offense are doing it not necessarily from a local congregation. They're doing it from the fact that a person needs to have a truly saving faith.
Amen. I agree. So we are back at Marburg here. Luther was right, Zwingli was right, and what happened?
They split.
What's happening today? We have Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church, Anglican Church, American, of course, invited Baptist, Pentecostals, and all of them in. What's going on then?
We have splits within those.
Yeah. Because we are better than those. I am not here to tell you anything new. I'm just trying to give us all hope. Things can change. We can change. I'm not better than you guys. I wear this clerical collar, right? Jesus knew who was at the Last Supper. Can you open to the Acts 27, please? This is our final reading for today. Can someone read me that? Just a sec. So we can read Acts 27, 33, from to 38. Who can read that?
I'll read it.
Thank you.
As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them all to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense and without food, having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea.
Word of the Lord, right? No, thank you. That's
now
it. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
No, sure. That's it. That's it. Okay. Did you hear that? I know someone would say, "Oh, that's not Lord's Supper." But did you hear the words of basically you can see the image of Christ at the Last Supper there. Damnation is near, right? As it is with the apostles, with Jesus himself, damnation is near. The ship is basically wrecked. You know, everyone is going to die. And what is Paul doing? He's taking bread. He's giving what? Eucharistia. Thanks. Thanksgiving. Eucharistia in Greek means thanksgiving. And that's why we have the word Eucharist in it, right? He breaks the bread. He gives them. And what's going on? They are encouraged. We never see the that these people are basically all, I know, Presbyterians, or they're all Lutherans, or they're all Baptists, they're all, I don't know, what, Mennonite. They were all encouraged. I'm not talking about, you know, some virtual unity here. I'm talking about unity of important things. We had 14 points, and this one point destroyed Protestant church. Today we don't have unity. Today I cannot come maybe to Elka Evangelical Lutheran Church and preach. I can't come maybe to, I don't know, to some tech churches because I'm ACNA, right? Why are we doing all that? So basically, let's be honest and say we've done it wrong. Reformation was not a romantic thing. Okay. And today we have problems because of that. It was a great idea, but execution was very poor. But there is a good news. Holy Spirit is still active. He still works within us. And we can change things. We can change things. We can love each other. As Book of Common Prayer says, I know I am promoting my Anglican faith, but that's okay. Everyone who truly loves the Lord, who truly needs encouragement, who needs hope, let him come. Brothers and sisters, I would like to pray, and I will pray in Croatian, but before we have a question, sure?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it's beautiful. And I don't understand why you don't just look at John 1. I mean, John, the Word became flesh.
Yes.
It's the Word that we're eating. It became flesh.
Yes. Sure, yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's,
amen. That's incarnation, yeah. The Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, if that's the right. Okay, yeah, I agree. Sure, brother.
I love what you're saying here because, you know, I did a little study on what Christ said about unity.
John 17, right?
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the core of it.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be unified. And instead, the Protestant church is all splintered up. And one church won't cooperate with another.
That's the issue, yeah.
We can agree on the basics of the Christian doctrine. Okay. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. Why can't we work together on that?
Yeah.
Christ was very serious about that. He said the world could judge whether he was sent by our unity and love for each other.
Basically, what you're saying...
But
you are saying that the world is judging Christ through us, through our unity. That's what you said. Is that right? Is that what you said? Okay.
But yeah. What Don's talking about is the truth of the gospel.
Yeah.
That because we're not unified, the world mocks us and says, well, who is this Christ? You guys can't even agree on anything.
That's right. I will tell you one story. It's a short story. It's about my father. My father was a Muslim. Okay.
What?
Muslim. Islamic faith, right? Okay. So I began reading Bible and everything. You know, I become Christian. I was, you know, all on fire for Christ and everything. And I talked to my father about Jesus. I was, you know, trying to tell him the good news and everything. You know, how Jesus is good, how he's faithful. And he said, yeah, you know what? I will become Christian when every new church will unite. Because now I really don't know which one to choose, you know. And he's right, basically. How can he know? He's not a theologian. How can he do that? But basically, my father read a lot of Bible just to, you know, spite me, to show me that he can be theologian too. So then he was converted, he believed in Christ, he basically surrendered his life to Christ. Tom is a witness here, he will prove that. And the bishop of my church actually came and baptized him, so that was amazing. He was crying all the time during this liturgy, the service of baptism. Look, people are going to get saved no matter what. Okay, because God is faithful. You know, yeah. But come on, people, we are called, you know, to unite, to be one. And I know that we all love our churches, we all love our denominations. I love mine. I'm delighted with Anglican Communism Church. I love the liturgy. I love it. Every single part of my liturgy, I love it because it's so deep. It's so humbling. But guys, you know, it's not about just that. It's about you and me together. So, okay, let's have our Marburg colloquy with this next 500 years, because we didn't succeed, you know, in the first 500 years. Okay, let's do it. Let's start it now. Okay, you guys in America, you are a huge force, you know, and you can do it here. Of course, maybe not 100%, but at least you can try. And that's what someone said. That's what John 17 all about, what Jesus prayed. No, he wanted all to be one, so the world can believe. Okay, do we have some more questions? Because I'm looking at the clock and I need to stop now. Yes, Brother Don.
Okay. This is a hard question to ask, but when we're talking about unity, how far do we go? I mean, a lot of reasons for splits, as they may be, are because some churches are believed to have become apostate. In other words, to deny the essentials of the faith, to deny biblical teaching. How do we, what do we do about that? I mean, we can't, I mean, there may be individuals in those kinds of churches who are saved, but we can't, your own denomination, for example, the Reformed Anglican came as a result of a split, the PCA or whatever.
Yeah. So what do we have to do about it, right?
Yeah, what do we...
What do we do? What do you think we should do?
Would you be willing to remove the word Protestant?
Well...
Become a Christian.
Would you like to remove word Christian and become the follower all the way? Because that was how Paul actually expressed himself in Acts. Christian was pejorative.
A pejorative?
Pejorative word, too, as Protestantism is. So that's at Antioch, right?
We have this. I was asked once, I was a Catholic all my life.
Oh, okay, good.
And I was asked by my pastor and his head of his church, well, how does it feel now to be a Protestant? Yeah. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not a Protestant, because there's as much arguing going on in the Catholic Church as there is in the Protestant Church.
In Orthodox,
Christian. Yeah. I'm in Christ.
Amen.
So what do you want to talk about now?
But that's an amazing question. But there is another point in the Reformation that I'm not sure that you touched upon last time. It's this the difference between visible and invisible church. Mm-hmm. Visible church, that was argument of Protestants like Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, and so on, and this and the Baptist idea of invisible church. So this is not what we are saying today about the visible invisible church, but basically some Anabaptists said there is no church anymore. The church is only invisible. So that's similar to that. That's now, you know, it's a big topic now to go into, and maybe we can talk about it afterwards if someone wants to talk about. I would like to discuss that. I'm acting as teacher here, but I'm not, you know, really your teacher. You can listen to me or you can leave. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not saying anything that you need to follow, really. These are my opinion based on what I read, what I'm teaching, what I'm preaching. So that's basically it. As Jesus prayed, I'm praying, if any of you actually prays Book of Common Prayer, or maybe Book of Common Worship, I think that there is there too, you know, prayer for unity. There's always there prayer for unity. Every day there is prayer for unity. Every single day I pray in the evening and morning a prayer. Every day two times. And how can I not preach about it then? It's in my head, it's in my heart. Okay, so do we have some more questions, or are we going to close? Yes.
Christ gave us the answer.
Yes.
When he gave us communion, the Eucharist, he said, do this in remembrance of me. What's me? The finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything, there's your focus.
Yeah, sure, the cross,
that is evangelism in action.
Amen, amen.
Because when he said, go into the world and preach the gospel, that's the good news. That's Christ's in his finished work.
That's right.
And then baptize.
Sure.
And we can discuss.
No, sure, sure.
But
that,
it's all
it's
Christ.
Okay, yeah.
It's all him.
It's all about
do
Jesus.
This in remembrance of
me. That's right.
Not of
someone
whatever
else
you
right.
want to bring in. It's not Christ plus. It is all Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I will agree with that. Sure, Brother Don.
Almir, what can we pray for regarding your church, the situation, the spiritual situation in Croatia, etc.?
We had some very troubling months this year. It was very painful for me as a pastor to see some people leave the church because of some personal things that they have with each other. So you can pray for that. You can also pray for the fundraising project that we are doing here in the U.S.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you want to know more about it, you can find it there on that table over there, so, and read it. Thank you so much for listening to me. I will pray now in Croatian, and I will give the benediction, if that's okay. I'm not sure if you're doing that. Okay, let us pray. Svemogući Bože, Ti si taj koji otvara naša srca, Ti si taj koji nam daje jedinstvo. Molim Te sada da da u našem srcu, da u našim životima bude Tvoja živa riječ, da bude Tvoja ljubav u nama, da bude jedinstvo među nama. Molim Te i za Tvoje svete sakramente da budu zajednički, da se ne dijelimo oko onoga što nam mora biti zajedničko kao jedno tijelo. Molim Te sada, blagoslovi sve nas, podari nam radost u životu i podari nam jedinstvo. U ime Otca i Sina i Duha Svetoga. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.